Craig Calcaterra?
Yes, Karen Given?
You're a baseball guy, so I'm hoping you can answer a couple of baseball questions for me.
All right, I'll try.
Have you ever made a lifelong friend because of baseball?
I have.
Have you ever gotten a new job because of baseball?
I actually have, yes.
And have you ever been shot in the leg because of baseball?
I can't say that has happened to me, no.
Well, all of that actually happened to the man at the center of our next story. Let's start with his lifelong friend, Art Chipman. He's 88 years old, and he still remembers the day he met Bill Brannon.
It was by accident. It was at Lindbergh Junior High School in North Long Beach, California. We were playing just scrub baseball.
Back then, scrub baseball began with everyone running toward a base. The first person to arrive would be the first up to bat.
Bill's foot hit the base first, and mine was right behind him, resulting in me going through the air, making a 360 and coming down hard, and I broke my arm.
Art cried. With his arm broken, he'd lose his job delivering newspapers.
Bill said, "There's no problem. I will help you." And he did help me until my arm got back where I could be okay and do my paper route by myself.
A few years later, Bill Brannon met his future wife, Frances. But he didn't meet her because of baseball. He met her at a local community center, playing ping pong.
I played ping pong all the years I was growing up in Michigan, and my husband played it occasionally, and it was always a challenge who was going to beat who.
Bill was an excellent high school baseball player. He even got invited to try out for the Philadelphia Phillies. But Bill's baseball skills didn't have anything to do with why Frances fell in love with him.
No, he was just a very nice person, well-mannered and very nice. And we both like sports.
Bill and Frances would have four children together. Their oldest, Ed, says he was always fascinated by the story his father would tell about getting shot in the leg because of baseball.
You know, we always wanted to see his wound.
Ed's youngest brother, Tom, can't remember when he first heard the story.
It would have been pretty young that I found that out.
This all began 70 years ago in the late 1940s. Everyone I spoke with, Art, Frances, Ed, and Tom, they all tell the story just a little bit differently. But lucky for me, Bill Brannon wrote it all down.
And to think, this all started because of a love of baseball.
Bill died of cancer a couple of years ago. What you're hearing now is an actor reading his words.
After high school, I joined a semi-pro team that played on weekends. We had a great team and won most of our games.
And I forget who the commercial sponsor was, but they pulled out. The team was kind of like, oh, rats, you know, we're going to have to disband. And the Marine Corps recruiter stepped in and said, hey, guys, we can sponsor you.
The team got all new equipment and professional-looking uniforms. And as Bill remembered it, they didn't even have to join the reserves, at least not right away.
We were well on our way to the championship when the hammer fell. In order for the Marine Corps to continue our sponsorship, we would all have to join the local USMC reserve outfit.
I think they sold him the idea that, you know, just sign, let's play ball.
Since I was not old enough to sign up for myself, I took the enlistment form home to have my folks sign for me. Well, my dad said not only no, but hell no.
But Bill Brannon's father didn't get the last word.
Well, his mom knew how much he liked baseball. His mom said, yes, I'll sign for you.
We completed the season, and we did win that championship.
And life went on, for a little while at least, until...
On June 25th, 1950, the communist forces from the north struck without warning.
As I recall, it was July 7th, 1950, that I received a card in the mail announcing that my reserve outfit was going active.
He signed up to play baseball and didn't think he was signing up to go to war, but he certainly went to war.
And was he upset at all?
Oh, Bill, of course not.
No, not at all. Not at all. My husband never said a bitter word or a nasty thing, but he's inclined to look at the good side of life anyway. I think that's his nature.
On July 23rd, 1950, Bill and Frances eloped. A little over a week later, Bill boarded a bus for Camp Pendleton to begin training. At least, that's what he thought he'd be doing when he got there.
When we disembarked from the bus and lined up in formation, the announcement was made that all persons whose last names began with A, B, or C were to fall out of formation.
Bill was assigned to 30 days of mess duty. Everyone else immediately began training. At the time, Bill saw his assignment as bad luck.
I thought I had been sent to purgatory.
Later, he'd come to see it as the luckiest day of his life. Many of his best mates had already left for Korea on their way to the Chosin Reservoir when Bill set sail from San Diego Harbor on November 20th, 1950.
As the mainland slowly disappeared out of sight, they played over the loudspeaker system. I saw the harbor lights. They only told me we were parting.
I long to hold you near and kiss you just once more.
There weren't too many dry eyes in the crowd about that time.
You were on the ship, and I was on the shore.
Bill and his unit landed in Korea in mid-December. Over the next year, they fought their way up the peninsula.
You know, they were at constant warfare. It was very bad. And when he got wounded, you know, he had done his duty.
It happened on September 13th, 1951, at 3:30 in the morning.
Pitch black night. He tells the guys that are doing guard duty, hey, I'm going down this way. Don't shoot.
He went in a no-no land. It was nobody should have been there unless they were the Korean.
He didn't get very far, and one of the other American soldiers heard some scuffing and immediately opened up.
A blue streak went right through my left leg.
He fell into a hole.
In the next 10 minutes or so, the troops in the perimeter shot up the whole hillside.
Everything that was exposed above that hole, his canteen and so forth, were all just blown all to heck.
That canteen was all neatly shredded off of his hip, but nothing actually hit him.
He heard his fellow Marines say, I guess that got the SOB. And Bill said, hey, I'm one of you guys.
The guy that shot him was really apologetic about shooting him. He's going, oh man, I'm going home. Don't worry about it.
To be honest with you, I think he was grateful he got shot. It was, you know, Korea was, a lot of people, they call it the Forgotten War. The only reason he wasn't at the Chosin Reservoir was because of his last name.
Trapped in the mountains around the Chosin Reservoir.
I met my old baseball teammate, Dick Hecker, after he had come back from the Chosin, and he looked like he had lost 50 years off his life.
They're hungry, too, and thirsty enough to eat snow.
A lot of guys who went to Pendleton with me on that bus didn't make it back from that battle.
Bill Brannan made a full recovery, but he never played competitive baseball again.
Yeah, that was the end of his baseball career. My oldest brother showed up about 9 months later.
I was a welcome home Korea baby.
No.
No?
Well, maybe he was. I don't know. I never thought about it that way.
Bill was now a family man, and he just didn't have time to play baseball. But he did have time to teach the game to his sons.
Taught us how to hit, taught us how to throw.
Tom says his dad loved to pass on baseball words of wisdom.
The biggest one I can remember is, if you can touch it, you can catch it. Which, you know, is 99% true.
Bill would spend hours in the backyard throwing the ball with Ed. Sometimes Ed's pitches crashed through a neighbor's window.
That's where I learned to fix windows, actually.
Bill and Ed would clean up the broken glass and install a new window before the neighbors got home.
My dad would tell him, well, Ed threw another ball through your window, and the guy would laugh, offer him a beer, and say, well, let's sit down and talk.
After he grew up and had a family of his own, Ed taught his daughter to play softball. He even became a professional batting instructor.
You know, there's a lot of kids out there playing ball right now that have a lot of learning that he taught me.
Frances Brannan still lives in the house where she and Bill raised their children.
We were married 66 years when he passed away with the big C. Thank you for making a tribute to baseball and to him.
No, Frances. On this Veterans Day weekend, I'm the one who should say thank you.
That's Only a Game's Karen Given. Alex Ashlock lent his voice to Bill Brannan's words for this story. While he was recovering in Japan, Bill Brannan sent home a drawing illustrating how the bullet went through his leg and out the other side. We'll have it at onlyagame.org.